Hello and welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto. Today we got, obviously, of course, we're going to be doing the Seattle recap here. Talk about the surprisingly good enough, well-groomed track we had out there after I definitely thought for sure we were going to be getting the muddy race with no whoops, just like Birmingham, but we had whoops. Not too much mud, but there's definitely some, but it seemed like most of it, for the most part, it got scraped off before the qualifying and races really started. So, of course, that's good to see a solid racetrack for the guys to go on. So, we're going to do it just like we've always been doing it. Take a quick look at qualifying. 250 qualifying, we got a surprise brand new name right up top at just under a full second. Star Racing, Monster Energy, whatever, Yamaha. Michael Moseman, his very first Supercross race of the season after being signed, I think it was right before Detroit. Shortly before Detroit, he got signed, I believe, to the team. But he just finally made his debut this past weekend in Seattle. Tops the 250 West combined qualifying leaderboard right in front of your hometown kid. Well, home state-ish. They're saying on the broadcast, about 3 hours. Washoe, Levi Kitchen. That's who we're talking about. Levi Kitchen qualified second place with a 52.798. And not sure if I mentioned Michael Moseman's time of 51.803, but that was his time at least. And then Joe Shimoda, he, in the end, probably definitely the best finish of the season for him. I'm 90% sure it was his first podium. So that was good to see. Started the day off good. In third, which is also where he ended the day. So good to see maybe Joe Shimoda figuring it out, finding some speed on that new Honda that he's on. So really good to see there. And then your other title championship contenders, Jordan Smith qualifying fifth place, and RJ Hampshire qualifying right behind Jordan Smith in sixth place, with RJ Hampshire 1/100th of a second behind, exactly 1/100th, at 53.235 for Jordan Smith, and then RJ Hampshire 53.245. So exactly 1/100th of a second separated them two. But I think the big surprise, obviously, was Michael Moseman qualifying in first place, first race, not even in the Group A qualifying, obviously, with this being his first race, not having any points. But still, real good start to the day for Yamaha's new guy out there. So now getting into the 450 qualifying. I feel like I can say this every single time. I can just start pre-recording this and then just putting it in, it seems like. Because Jet Lawrence, your fastest qualifier for the 450 class. So nothing surprising about that whatsoever. He was followed up by Eli Tomac, who was 0.2 behind him. Jet Lawrence running a 52.115, which it's always fun to compare the fastest 450 guy to the fastest 250 guy. That's, oh, we're going to do some quick math here. 52.115, 51.803. So Michael Moseman was actually faster than Jet Lawrence in qualifying. So that's pretty interesting to me. What about What was he? Eli Tomac, 52.325. I mixed that up. I meant to look at Levi Kitchen instead of Eli Tomac. Levi was 52.7. Levi would have qualified fourth place in the 450 class. So obviously the 250s had some definite speed coming. So that's good to see. So yeah, Levi would have qualified in fourth place in the 450 class on his 250. But once again, 450s, we had Jet Lawrence qualifying first, and then your only title threats is Cooper Webb and Chase Sexton. They qualified third and fourth, respectively. I think that's how you use that word. And I noticed Jet was jumping over. No, it was Levi sent the sand little wall jump that they had out there. Levi was sending it over that in qualifying. Didn't see too many people doing that for the 450 guys in qualifying, at least the first qualifying. Not gonna lie, right after 450 group A, I fell asleep until the end of qualifying and then woke up to some random movie on Peacock playing on the TV. But that's besides the point. So I didn't see any of qualifying two. But I do know Moseman qualified first. And I do know Jet qualified first. I did see that live with my own two eyes. So, I think that'll about wrap us up for the qualifying portion here. And now we'll be getting into the 250 Heat 1. Which, pretty uneventful, kind of. It was Levi Kitchen in his home state. Bunch of family and friends there he said he had there. He pulls the whole shot. Crowd going absolutely insane. Probably even louder. It seemed like on TV it might have been louder than it was in Detroit when Plessinger pulled the whole shot. When Plessinger got the lead in his heat race. I was in Detroit. It got pretty loud for him there because obviously we all remember what happened to him last year with him blowing it on the last lap. It seemed like it got just as loud in Seattle for Levi Kitchen, which that stadium is built for noise for the Seattle Seahawks, the NFL team that plays there. And I think their soccer team, they're called like the Sounders, which makes sense because those fans get loud. But very loud for their, I'm just going to keep calling them the hometown kid, Levi Kitchen. They got very loud for Levi Kitchen, pulling the whole shot. Looked very comfortable. Nothing really crazy happened in this heat. All I have in my notes, really, Kitchen hole shot, crowd loud, Kitchen comfortable, Kitchen wins. So the Kitchen was hot all day Saturday. The chef cooking up race wins, cooking up hole shots. So RJ Hampshire finishes 9.6 seconds back of Levi Kitchen. So that just shows the speed that he ended up having, which is just unbelievable. The fact that in 9 laps he was able to have a just over 9.5 second lead on second place. But I did see Ryder D and Julian Beaumaire, Juju, two younger guys still, for the most part, learning Supercross a lot. Good third, fourth. So good to see them. And then Anthony Bourdain, Bourdon. It's Bourdon on that Bar X Suzuki team, who showing out really good this season. Even during the long break that the 250 West had, he was on the 450s, racing 450s every chance he got, and for the most part holding his own in those. So just another small team making big waves, it seems, in the 250 class, which seems to be kind of the season for that smaller teams, getting good finishes with that Bar X team, Club MX team for sure, getting podiums earlier in the season. So that's always good to see. So now moving on to Heat 2. Ooh, I try to remember, cut that out. Yeah, I don't know why it took me so long to think of that, but 250 Heat 2, we had Joe Shimoda. I said he probably the best night he's had for the most part. There was still a couple of, it seems like, just kind of classic Joe mistakes for this year. I know also it does seem like every single year he starts off a little weak, but then as the season goes on, he seems to find something. So maybe he is maybe he's starting to find it. But so yeah, Joe Shimoda pulls the whole shot, and then Nate Thrasher went down pretty hard, I do remember. So Thrasher down hard. Jordan Smith was right on Joe Shimoda, keeping him very honest the entire race until, like I said, it seems like one of the classic Joe Shimoda mistakes. Seems like he just kind of comes up short in the same section where Smith had his big crash. And whoops, hopefully that didn't come through. Had in the same section where Jordan Smith had his big mistake in the main event. So he comes out of the corner, double, triple, looks like he goes to triple again. He comes up a little bit short, cases it, gets kind of stuck. And then Jordan Smith able to get by. Shimoda trying to get on the track again. Has an issue with a tough block, but he is able to get up and finish in second with, again, one of them smaller teams right behind him, Garrett Marchbanks, and that Club MX bike finishing third place, and then your fastest qualifier. Not super surprising to me to see him, Michael Mosman, even though he was the fastest qualifier, yes, he finishes fifth. Race speed is a little bit different than just go out and throw down a heater, because, I mean, obviously you got to get a start, and then you're out there and at an actual race battling for position and whatnot. So he finishes fifth. And then a crowd favorite in the 250, Phil Nicoletti, finishing sixth. And then, nothing too crazy about this one either. Nate Thrasher was able to finish in eighth and qualify straight to the main event. And now getting on to the 450 heat races. And Hunter Lawrence, really good jump, gets edged out by Sexton for the whole shot, who Chase Sexton also all night long had great starts. Hunter Lawrence, good start. He was just a little too far outside. Sexton was able to cut up the inside, grab the whole shot, and shortly after that, very first lap, Ken Roczen does go down. It seemed weird because watching it back, there looked like to be like a little kicker or something in the rut right before the jump there, after the mechanics area. Yeah, like a little kicker, and it seemed like his back tire just kind of slid out of the rut, front tire stayed in it, and then he was just kind of along for the ride. But it was first lap in a shorter race, obviously it being a heat race. He wasn't able to mount a comeback to get back into the top nine, so he does go on to the LCQ. Only thing in the LCQ to note on, I'll note on it real quick here. Ken Roczen goes out, hole shot, wins by over 11 seconds. So heat race wasn't very good to him, but he was able to recover nicely in the LCQ and grab the win in that. He's now 1-for-1 in the LCQ. So one appearance, one hole shot, one victory. So all that happened. And then Chase Sexton, he had a bit of a stalling problem go on all night long, really. So he goes into the sand and then looks like he tried to like bunny hop over the wall, and it just stalled his bike completely. He couldn't get it back going. Gets passed by Hunter, gets passed by Oldenburg, and gets passed by Eli Tomac. So Sexton goes from first to fourth from stalling it, which is not something you always see, but it's interesting to note that he couldn't get the bike to restart. So I don't know if that's something KTM is going to have to look at, if that Red Bull KTM team is going to have to look at that. But he wasn't able to get his bike fired up right away like you normally are with just an electric start. I mean, he might as well have had, for how long he was sitting there, he might as well have just had a kickstarter on his bike, because that seemed about how long he was sitting there and struggling to get his bike going back again. But he was able, Sexton was able to recover for third place. And Eli Tomac was charging hard in this heat race. Really probably the hardest we've seen him charge. I think I've seen him charge all year long, even though it was a heat race. And I don't know if it was maybe a little bit of jitters getting to Hunter Lawrence, or he wasn't able to put in laps as fast, because Eli did kind of bring the Chase Sexton with him. So, but it definitely looked like Eli was in attack mode and looked like it could be a good night overall for Eli Tomac. But Hunter Lawrence was able to hold him off, and they kept showing Jet Lawrence sitting at the gate cheering on old Hunter the entire heat race. So a little bit of brotherly love there for Hunter and Jet, with Hunter grabbing his first heat race win. And yeah, it is just a heat race, but still, it's his first win in the 450 Supercross class. So that's always good to see. And now getting on to the 450 Heat 2. That's a little bit better. I was able to find my words a little bit faster that time. I don't know what happened transitioning from Heat 1 to Heat 2 in the 250s, but Heat 1 to Heat 2 in the 450s went a little bit better. And now I just spend all this time patting myself on the back where it doesn't even seem like it happened. But I mentioned Aaron Plessinger, crowd going crazy. Well, 450 Heat 2. You guessed it. AP, Aaron Plessinger, grabs the hole shot with kind of the same move that Sexton was able to pull it from. just everyone went out a little too wide. And Plessinger, holy smokes, lost train of thought there for a second. Plessinger was able to kind of just sneak up the inside a little bit and grab the whole shot with, shockingly, Vince Freese was back at the race and didn't do anything crazy this time. But he also, I can't get a handle on this guy, Vince Freese, that is. Because sometimes he's there in the race, sometimes he's not, and I can never see an announcement on why he's not there. But, yeah, so Plessinger, whole shot, Vince Freese right behind him, and Jett started in fourth, was able to make some quick moves on Benny Bloss and the mentioned Vince Freese. And it seems like Plessinger and Jett, whenever they are near each other, they're always going to have a good battle, just like they did in this heat race, with Jett coming from behind, catching Plessinger, Jett doing the big triple, triple, triple in that long rhythm section where you got to be perfect. He did it, and Plessinger missed it, and that really gave him the advantage. And then they were side by side through the whoops, which is really cool. And then something that Peacock did that really irritated me, that I was screaming at the TV about, was they're side by side through whoops, and then they cut and show the crowd, which is exactly what I want to see when there's a battle for first place going on and the guys are right next to each other, is the crowd standing up and cheering. But, oh well, I guess. Hopefully, maybe it was just a finger slipped, hit the wrong button, changed the camera. But Jett was able to get the inside after the whoops and pass Plessinger. And then just do what Jett does. And kind of held the lead for a bit. Plessinger did try a pretty hard pass at the end. Just to, I don't know, maybe he's just trying to see if he could rattle Jett Lawrence. But Plessinger, good guy, liked by most people. And so obviously he's not out there trying to T-bone people and irritate them. Vince Freese. Ooh, I got a tickle in my throat. So yeah, just hard aggressive pass, hard aggressive racing, or aggressive pass attempt, I should say. Didn't work, but hey, it was worth a shot. And Jett hangs on for your 450 Heat 2 win, which he seems like, I mean, yeah, he's fast, I get it. But holy smokes, has he been on an absolute roll with fastest qualifiers and heat race wins. I mean, I guess also going into this, he was on an absolute roll with just winning main events as well. So it's something impressive what that kid's doing, which good for the sport, bad for the sport. I think it's good for the sport because I think more people are going to tune in to see how long he can keep this up with. I mean, even in the summer, Eli Tomac said he wasn't paying any attention to the motocross series when he was hurt. And once he heard about Jett's streak going that he said he had to tune in and watch it. So it just shows that it can be good for the sport. Keep bringing eyes to the sport, especially those Aussie eyes from his home country. So I think it's just about main event time, which is always the best time of the night. So let's jump into the 250 main event now. And the start was basically a replay of heat race number one, with Levi Kitchen once again jumping out. Great start. with the whole shot. And once again, the crowd going crazy for their hometown kid. And Julien Bomer also good jump, and he was passed right before the whoop section by Jordan Smith. So Jordan Smith was able to capitalize on the rookie maybe struggling in the whoops a little bit, with it being his very first season in Supercross. And also, he quit racing jet skis. They say this a lot. And what was it? Just a couple years ago, I believe. And so, still really impressive with how strong he's been to the start of his season. But especially it being his rookie season. So, RJ was also able to get past him, Julien Bomer, in the that first long rhythm section. And then that brings us to old Joe Shimoda, who got a little cross rut action in the same section, where he comes in, cross ruts, shoots him over to his right, and comes up just barely short of the tough blocks on the side of the track, cases a jump, goes down all the way down to at least, what place was it? I'm trying to watch it back right now real quick. 8th place. Puts him all the way down to 8th place, where he then started his absolute charge. And his charge did get helped out a little bit by, in the, not the same lap, but the section right after he had his troubles, Jordan Smith had his big troubles, where he also cross ruts, comes up a little bit short, and on TV it looks like he hammers his head on the bar pad, but he put out a post on Instagram saying, "I know it looked like my head got hit, but it was his chest that took most of the impact." And he was evaluated after the race by the Alpine Stars medical crew for a concussion and cleared concussion protocol. So he will be able to race this upcoming week in St. Louis, it is. So he's able to race in St. Louis, which is good. The got a little sketchy and scary for him trying to get back onto the track, where it seemed like he wasn't really paying attention. More riders coming through the section, and then they clip Jordan Smith's front wheel, goes down again. And so I think that happening made some people think he had a concussion and shouldn't be riding, but apparently he doesn't have a concussion. So that's good news to hear, that Jordan Smith is relatively healthy after that big case cross-rutted crash. So he ended up finishing in 14th place, where he was good. He was up in second, chasing down Levi Kitchen, which, I mean, I don't think anyone was going to catch Levi Kitchen on this night. But still, in second, good for the championship and everything. And just a tough crash while, like I've said a couple times now, running in second place. So, one lap. Oh, yeah. And then Joe Shimoda, I mentioned he goes on this big old tear, goes from all the way down in 8th place up to 3rd place. I mean, granted, finishing almost 26 seconds back, but still, from 8th place to 3rd place on a track that some people were saying was hard to pass on. Pretty impressive. It seemed like you just had to hit your marks every lap, and not a lot of people were able to do it. Levi Kitchen was able to do it, and once Joe Shimoda seemed like maybe just got a little mad, needed some motivation, and he was able to do it, climbing all the way up to 3rd place, right behind RJ Hampshire, who was 4 seconds in front of him, but still 21 seconds back of Levi Kitchen. So your podium was RJ Hampshire in 2nd, Joe Shimoda in 3rd, and of course your winner, the hometown kid, wire to wire, extending the points lead, Levi Kitchen. So also his first official main event win, kind of, because all of his other ones have been Triple Crown wins, which obviously are still really impressive with the 3 gate drops that are needed, the shorter sprint races, but now he proved on Saturday night that he can do it for a full-on 1 gate drop main event, maybe with a little bit of extra juice behind him being in Seattle, his home state, but still, he was able to do that. And now looking forward, going to St. Louis, he's got 2 Triple Crown wins already. Now we're going to St. Louis with another Triple Crown on the horizon here. So I think we got some big things ahead for Levi Kitchen. And now we'll take a look at the points for the 250 West. Like I mentioned, Levi Kitchen in first, able to extend the points lead to 8 over RJ Hampshire. Jordan Smith is now 21 back. And Garrett Marchbanks 4th with 26 back. And rounding out the top 5, Joe Shimoda still 37 back. I think kind of similar to the 450s. It's a 3-man race right now between Levi, RJ, and Jordan Smith, with Smith being obviously the long shot out at 21 points behind Levi Kitchen. So, also looking at it, 7th, strong ride for the rookie, 7th in points, I should say. The rookie, Julian Beaumaire, 53 back, so I'm sure he didn't have title hopes coming into this, just trying to learn. But still, really strong. 53 back. And then right in front of him, the Suzuki, the Bar X Suzuki, Anthony Bourdain. I just kind of combined 3 names right there. Bourdain. Yeah, it's got to be Bourdain. B-O-U-R-D-O-N. Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain, 52 points back of Levi Kitchen in first place. So I think that'll about wrap up the 250 section of this episode. And now we will get into the big fellas on the big bikes, the 450s. And once again, like I said, Chase Sexton, strong starts all night long. He pulls the hole shot, doing the exact same thing he did in the heat race, sneaking up around, real careful around the inside with Roczen, who also got a really good start, especially with the gate pick that he had coming from the just about as far outside as you can get. I mean, obviously, yeah, not the furthest outside, but shoot. Basically the furthest outside. I think he was 2 from the outside. So, real good to see he was able, Ken Roczen was able to get a good shot at the start and really give him a fighter's chance for this main event. But we had Jet Lawrence, who surprisingly didn't get a good start for the first time in what seems like forever. I have here he was 19 He was in ninth place with 18 minutes left. And then he started utilizing jumping over the sand wall, making up tons of ground there, making tons of passes there. That's where he was able to get Justin Barsha, was able to get him there, plenty of other people on his way to third place, where he then comes up on Cooper Webb. Oh, also, Jet was able to make quick work of Ken Roczen and Aaron Plessinger. So he was moving. Jet definitely had the speed. Obviously, he showed it in qualifying, but yeah, he definitely had the speed to be pretty darn dangerous in this race. Just bad start. And then he's charging, coming up on Cooper Webb, going into the sand, where Cooper Webb also picked up on jumping over the wall. And Jet just kind of, he said he couldn't brake, which, watching it back now, especially if he was using his rear brake, his rear tire was in the air. So yeah, you can't really brake with a tire that's not on the ground. Gets into the swing arm area of Cooper Webb. Doesn't hit him very hard, but hard enough where Jet kind of loses balance, high sides a little bit. Cooper Webb's able to keep going. So Jet's in third, and then gets passed by, who's that, Roczen, Anderson, Plessinger, but is then, like it seems like always, able to get up, get right by Anderson and Plessinger pretty quickly, and then just kind of hung out in third after getting by Roczen again. Hung out in third, took his medicine, as I'm sure Ricky Carmichael would say. Did all he could for third place. He definitely had the speed to win the race, but didn't have the consistency. Couple little mistakes there, here and there, and that's what sealed the deal for old Jetson in Seattle. But yeah, Webb able to figure out jumping over the wall in the sand, really started eating into the time that Chase Sexton had gained over him, because Sexton was out front, just hitting his marks. Seemed like he struggled a little bit early in the sand, and then never really figured out jumping over the wall until it was a little too late, where Sexton cross ruts, going straight into the tough blocks, but is able to save it somehow. And then he stalls the bike again. I know after, I can't remember if it was on the podium or if it was in the press conference, Chase Sexton said when he jumped into the side of the tough blocks, it bent his rear brake out, and he thinks it just got caught on the rut in the corner, and that's what made him stall. But he was not sitting there as long with a stalled dirt bike in the main event as long as he was in the heat race. So, but Webb able to capitalize and get past him. And then Sexton definitely had the speed to win, but almost jumping off the track once and then stalling it, it makes it kind of difficult to win. Surprisingly, if your dirt bike turns off in the middle of a dirt bike race, it makes it harder to win, even when you do get it back going. But Sexton seemed like he was cruising, and then he wasn't able to do the big double, which I'm sure it was probably supposed to be a triple, but then the rain, all that. And then Sexton figures out while behind Cooper Webb, he could only do it one lap, I believe, one or two laps, where he jumped the wall jump in the sand, making up big time there, because that's where he really struggled. And then that line kind of went away, and then Sexton went back to the inside where he was all race long, and that line got a little bit better, while because Cooper Webb was still sticking to the outside, using up more track. Sexton, probably the only turn on the entire track where Sexton was the one going more inside than Cooper Webb, because it seemed like Cooper Webb was nailing all the inside ruts he could, and Sexton was always just kind of going one or two more outside and just making the track a little bit longer. Even though Sexton was faster, that little bit longer of a track makes a big difference. And like I said, Webb did make a little mistake in the sand where he was trying to go to the outside the whole race. Sexton gets by him. Sexton makes another mistake. Cooper Webb gets out to a 4.7 second lead at one point late in the race. And then Sexton's able to crawl and fight all the way back to where going through the whoops and then the little, like, another little wall jump that they had right after the whoops. Cooper Webb got a little bit sideways. Then Sexton was forced to go to the outside there. Knew he didn't have too much for Cooper Webb, knowing that Webb was able to control the inside on the last two corners, and especially the finish line corner, where he just kind of tiptoed around the inside and was able to just kind of go as far outside as Sexton was willing to go to just kind of wall him off, really. And Cooper Webb was able to win by just half a second. So I think one of the most entertaining races we've had. Once again, I'll say that. But it's definitely the closest main event finish we've had all year long. So that's awesome. Action-packed, full 450 main event with Cooper Webb putting an end to Jet Lawrence's winning streak. Cooper Webb now winning his second race. He's also now, he's got to be, I think, I'm pretty sure he's the only rider besides Jet to win multiple races now, with Jet having three, Cooper having two, Chase and Roczen having one, and Plessinger having one as well. So, still waiting on Eli Tomac to get that one win. Eli finished sixth, right in front, or right behind Ken Roczen, and then Plessinger in fourth. So, and then your Heat 1 winner, Hunter Lawrence, finished seventh. Which, I mean, he's still learning, I guess. But deep class. I'm sure he'll get his wins, because, I mean, you look, in 10th place, you have a former champion in Jason Anderson rounding out the top 10. And then right in front of him, it's Barcia and Cooper. And then we get back into Lawrence and everybody else that I just mentioned. So let's take a look at these points. Cooper Webb able to cut the points lead down to 16. Chase Sexton gets it off of a full race gap down to from 25 now to 23. So I think if Sexton's distance ever gets over a full race, I think you can put a nail in the coffin for his championship this year. And my prediction will be no more, I think. But you got Cooper Webb getting back into fighting distance with Jet Lawrence closing the gap. I mean, in order to close the gap, obviously you got to beat him. And Jet has shown the past, well, before this last week, he's shown the 3 weeks before that why he's the points leader. And heck, he's pretty hard to beat, that's for sure. So, looking into St. Louis now, the track map, Triple Crown race. It seems like we got another long start with another sweeping long 180 left-hand turn. Indoors, also, got to mention that last indoor race of the season. So, track looks pretty interesting. There's a couple combinations where I'm interested to look at. It looks like there could be a couple times where there's like a little wheel tap situation going on, possibly. And then kind of going backwards down the start straight. Basically just like how the last two corners of St. Louis were. That's the same last two corners we got here. A sharp 180 left, right? Yeah, left, and then into like another 180, sharper 180 right-hand turn, and then a quick finish line right there. So the end could look very similar. So I'm interested to see. There's no sand here. I've heard that a lot of the riders really like the dirt in St. Louis. So hopefully that provides some pretty awesome racing. Obviously inside Triple Crown, you're going to need three starts. Starts are always important no matter what. But especially important, starts and consistency are going to win you your St. Louis. Win you your St. Louis. They're going to win you your races. Overall. There. Overall. That's the word I was looking for. So looking at it now. 450. If he can get his starts. We all know how good he is on sprint speed in the very beginning of races. And honestly, I wouldn't be too surprised if he wins. That is the German, Ken Roczen, I think is going to win in the 450. He's been getting solid starts, especially the last Triple Crown that there was. He was battling with Jet all race, every race, getting his good starts. So I think if he, once again, gets good starts, he can get at sprint speed up there early and maybe even put a bit of a gap on Jet and the rest of the field. And now, looking at the 250s, I think it's going to be RJ Hampshire, to be honest. I think he's a little irritated with how much Levi Kitchen was able to kind of gap him and everybody else. So I think RJ Hampshire is going to be the 250 winner. And like I said, Ken Roczen, the 450 winner. So another, and then they go into an off weekend, I do believe. I don't think there's a race on April 6th. So everyone's going to want to win going into the little break, if that is the case. So everyone's going to be coming out firing super hard, and I am just kind of stalling to see if there's a race on the 6th. No, there is not. Okay. I was correct. Yeah. No race on the 6th, so everyone's going to want to end and go on to an off weekend on a good note. So good notes for Ken Roczen and RJ Hampshire, I do believe, are your winners. That'll wrap us up here for our Seattle recap and quick look at St. Louis episode. So thank you for listening. like always, talking moto on X. It'd be cool if maybe on there submit some questions or something I can answer on these. I know I've had a question last episode. So yeah, if just reply to one of my tweets on Saturday during the race, after the race, or Sunday, whatever. So and then I'll try and answer them on the episode for you. So I'd really appreciate that. I think that'd be fun. Kind of give me something else to talk about. Maybe it'll bring up something I didn't even think about. So that'd be really cool and interesting. So yeah, talking_moto on X. And yeah, I will see you guys next week. See ya.